Right now, I want to introduce you to my first guest joining me today, and I have with me Dylan Thomas. Aloha, Dylan.
Hey, aloha, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good. And, you know, of course, I have to ask. I'm sure you, everybody asks you this. Are you named after the poet? No.
You know it. You absolutely know it, yeah. I reckon my parents ran out of names. Yeah, and I'm from South Africa, originally Welsh heritage, but originally born in South Africa and relocated to Kauai about 10 and a half years ago.
All right. So Dylan is actually one of the proprietors of Hawaiki, which is a gallery featuring a world of Hawaiian, Polynesian, Melanesian, and Oceanic art. And one of the things that makes this particular very specialized boutique, I would call it, so special is because all these items were actually handpicked by the owners as they traveled around the globe in their looks like a yacht.
Yeah, it was actually, it's been 16 years since we kicked off on the first yacht, Yacht Firebird. And it's been two yachts over that period. Yacht Firebird was the original sailboat that we lived aboard for 5.5 years. That's myself, Jim, and Vicky. They were the owners of Firebird, and I kind of jumped on board as a crew member, and things blossomed from there. And Yacht Compadre is our most recent boat, which actually just sold a month ago. So we're currently landlubbers. But as you say, we do individually handpick items as we sail across the Pacific. We have been doing for the last 16 years. We've also been setting up, obviously, continuity by making contacts throughout the Pacific in the different areas we represent.
Right. I do need to let you know that it's 1:30 here on the Garden Island. You're tuned to Kauai Community Radio. This is Tracy with Kauai Vibrations and my special guest, Dylan Thomas from the Hawaiki Gallery located in Hanalei. And it has oceanic and tribal art and from collected around the world. And also, I know you do have some art from Kauai people in the state of Hawaii as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Our focus over the years has always been locally made, and my joke to everyone who comes in the gallery is when they ask me, is this made locally? My answer is, it is made locally, but not all on Kauai. But we certainly do have a lot of Kauai artists, carvers, jewelry makers. Obviously, a big proponent of the local artists are shell lei makers, which is something we've driven hard to promote as a vendor, becoming a vendor of kahelelani and ni'ihau shell leis. And we enjoy local artists. I'd love to meet new artists. If you know, artists can come down anytime and check us out, and we're always looking for new people to supply us, especially from the island of Kauai and other islands. I had a client in yesterday who was on Oahu, who happened to be an amateur carver, and who knows, gave him my card. Hopefully he'll become a regular in the gallery. But we're always open to new artists all day, every day.
Well, that's wonderful. So maybe tell us exactly where you're located in Hanalei.
So exactly where we are is we're in the Hanalei Center, the old school building behind the Hanalei Gourmet, the new Federico's, and the fairly new Hanalei Bread Company. We're tucked in the back courtyard. We're pretty noticeable as soon as you come into that area. We've done a lot of public signage for people, creating more awareness for the history and the cultures across the Pacific. And you should be able to find us. Look for the flaming tikis. They're out front, carved by a local artist here on Kauai. And we're open 7 days a week. 10 until 6.
Now, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Dylan Thomas, and he is one of the co-owners of Hawaiki. It's a gallery featuring a world of Hawaiian, Polynesian, Melanesian, and oceanic art. And it's been actually handpicked. The artists have been handpicked. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about just some of the specialty items. Also, if you want to find out more, you can visit their website, which is?
So, yeah, our website is www.hawaiki, that's Havaiki, art.com. That's www.havaikiart.com. And we do handpick all the items. I should be more specific and say that certainly the artists that we are looking for are your oceanic-themed artists, people who are creating Polynesian, functional, cultural, or traditional pieces that are now considered more aesthetic and artistic, and are, you know, sought after by people who are visiting the area and obviously collectors worldwide. I'm sure everyone in Hanalei and the island of Kauai has seen in the recent years a blossoming of the tourist trade, and we're seeing a lot of international buyers as well coming through the doors, a lot of Europeans, a lot of Australians. We encourage people to come down and visit with us if they create any type of artwork that fits that profile. If you want to know exact, you know, obviously come and see what we're about, and or visit the website.
Right, and then also you have some nice YouTube videos as well.
Yeah, we do. We discussed it a little earlier, but put together very quickly and well done by a friend of mine, Derek, and his wife Kat. That's our introduction video on our website. And, interestingly, the one that really took off was, I was getting asked in the first few years by many people buying pareos and malos and other galleries or other, you know, other shops, coming over to me all the time. How do you tie this? How do you tie this around? How do you tie this around? And so, I decided with Derek's help, let's just make a quick video. And we made a YouTube video. And I think the last time I checked, it had 60,000 hits, 60,000 views, and had been reposted with another 40,000 views. I was pretty blown away. So, YouTube has been a good avenue for us, I guess. But best to come down, obviously, and see us in person.
I'm just curious. So you sailed around the world with this couple, you know, for over a decade. Like, I'm sure, I don't know how much of that time were you actually like, you know,
together?
Sailing as well. I mean, together and sailing.
So yeah, it. And what? I guess back. Go ahead.
Wait, no, I wonder if you.
Okay, backtrack to the beginning. Yeah. Yes, we. I happened to be kind of found. Jim and Vicky were looking for a crew member. I was looking for a sailboat. That was back in 2002. In Fort Lauderdale, and they owned a boat. They had this desire to actually take it as a charter vessel out into the South Pacific. And shortly before their departure, 9/11 occurred, and so things were not looking rosy for the people of the U.S. And everyone was pulling back, and most everyone pulled out of the charter industry. It became a personal trip for Jim and Vicky and myself, and the three of us bonded over that 5.5 years. We lived aboard the boat, an 84-foot Palmer Johnson. It's called Firebird. And sailed almost 40,000 miles on Firebird. Yeah.
Is a mind blow.
Through Polynesia. At that stage, it was Polynesia and Melanesia and across into Indonesia. And during that phase, came up with the concept of what are we going to do next, and that led to the idea of an art gallery focusing on the pieces that we had collected ourselves as travelers through the different areas. And we did just that, and Jim and Vicky went on a pilgrimage through many islands, and they finally came across little sleepy Hanalei back then, which is not that far ago, long ago, obviously, but 12 years ago, and stumbled across what had the space we're in today, which had just closed, and as a doctor's office, I believe. And they secured that location. I wrapped up Firebird in Australia, sold it to a new buyer, shipped what was remaining of the merchandise we had collected in our final phase of Firebird, shipped it up to Hawaii. And we kicked off in 2007. I think it was. It's almost 10 years to the day. But at the end of this month, I think end of April 2007 was when we opened. So it's been just on 10 years.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, it's been fun. We've really enjoyed it. You know, I think it exceeded our expectations from the get-go, and the response. By that I mean the response we had from people, and that was very positive, and obviously was inspiring. And so we bought another boat, committed to a second boat, Compadre. That was about in 2009, and refit that boat, and sailed through the Pacific for the remaining years, and have continued to make more contacts and collect more artwork directly, and Yeah, we continued into the Pacific. We, you know, the people of the Pacific, the culture, the traditions, the area. I mean, if you've ever visited there, any listeners who visited there will vouch for it. It's a very special part of the world. And naturally, as we all know, living here on Kauai, there's a lot of culture in these areas. And we like to be part of a system that benefits those people, all of those artists and hopefully their families, by empowering them to create things which can be so monetizing in a good sense, monetizing what people are looking for in an art form.
Definitely. And if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Dylan Thomas, and he is one of the co-owners of Hava Ike. It's a gallery featuring a world of Hawaiian, Polynesian, Melanesian, and Oceanic art. They're located in Hanalei, and they have been there. It'll be 10 years this month. That's fantastic. I'm just from what I saw, it's like this is a lot of museum. I mean, I would call this museum quality pieces that you have collected.
Yeah, our focus as a business, of course, has always been the highest possible quality of craftsmanship we can come across. We have been pretty picky over the years as buyers. From a business perspective, I think we've learned in our 10 years in business. We've all seen how the economy has changed in the last 10 years. It's gone, it crashed pretty much the year after we opened, which was, if we had a glass ball, maybe we would have stalled that opening. Mm-hmm. But what we found was actually that because of our selection, because of our focus on quality, and because of the quality of what is being created already, you know, we're not commissioning these pieces. We're just actively purchasing. Well, that quality shone through and people, you know, reached deep into their pockets and, you know, pulled out cash if they didn't have credit during the tough times. And, so yeah, definitely our focus on quality. You'll see it when you come in the gallery. And authenticity. We like pieces to come, from artists in the areas that they represent. You know, I recently in July last year sailed through the Marquesas, returning compadre back to Newport Beach, California, and you know, you talk about authenticity, it's just a wonderful part of the world, and you're buying direct from these grassroots individuals, people who are don't have much else besides their artwork in terms of generating income, and it's a wonderful process that we're involved in bringing art to the public.
So Dylan, I mean, and when you meet these artists, are some of these people, is this a craft that's been handed down through the generations? Are these some? I mean, I'm for sure there's a combination, but I mean, we're talking about a lot of traditional art, I imagine. So, is that something that they learn from their family, or I mean, are some people just born and they have a natural inclination to create? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it does. It is different in different areas. You know, the Solomon Islands, for example, one of my favorite places. There, it's generational. And it hasn't ceased to be generational. Same as in Tonga, Samoa. That's what used to be Western Samoa, not so much American Samoa. Those places, and Tahiti is another natural one. You know, the art forms have been handed down from one generation to the next. A father taught a son how to carve a particular piece, and now that son is doing that. And then other areas, it is people who've had the desire to become artists but haven't had an outlet up until this point, and they've kind of been garage artists, you know, and that's, I will say, a lot of our Kauai artists are like that. Most of our Kauai artists, they have a full-time job, and they do art on the side. There's very few who are, unfortunately, paying all the bills with just their artwork. So we'd like to get them there in the future, hopefully. But yeah, so it's a mix of what you said. We, part of why we're in business is to try and, you know, invite people to become artists, and at least even if they're weekend warriors, you know, come by and become an artist, and hopefully I like your work, we like your work, and the public likes your work, and who knows if it's a passion that's been held back because, you know, we all have to make money somehow. Perhaps it can be slowly turned into a full-time occupation for locals included.
Right. Now, if you just tune in, I'm speaking with Dylan Thomas, and he's one of the co-owners of Hawaiki. It's a gallery featuring a world of Hawaiian, Polynesian, Melanesian, and Oceanic art. They're located in Hanalei, and they're going to be celebrating their 10-year anniversary probably the end of this month, and that's super exciting because we've seen so many businesses come and go in the island, and especially on the North Shore. You can find out more at their website, which is hawaikiart.com, and that's HAVAIKI art.com. Once again, they're located in Hanalei Center behind Bubba's. And maybe you could, you did say you love the Marquesas, but maybe you want to tell a story about, like, maybe one of your favorite pieces that you purchased in your travels and why.
Okay, there's been many pieces, of course, right? What I've actually learned to do as a business owner is not get too attached to things. In the beginning, when we first opened, we had a lot of pieces that we personally really treasured ourselves. And there's one in particular that I really like, which I still regret that we sold, which was right in the early days. And again, it's from the Solomon Islands, one of my favorite areas. And it was a piece which was made by someone who's become a very close friend and a bit of a picker for us on the Solomon Islands front. His name's Gary Guza. And we sailed through there in about 2003 and were blown away by how amazing the Morova Lagoon area is and the extent of the Solomon Islands area. And this particular rosewood piece that he had carved was a scene basically of one octopus chasing another octopus, and just the way the legs were, one of them was streaming legs back and the one behind was streaming its legs forward to try and catch the other one. And it didn't really have much of a cultural meaning per se, but like the Native American Indians, a lot of the cultures, the Aumakua, it's some type of sea life, a bird or a fish or turtles or sharks, and so the octopus is an Aumakua of the people of the Solomon Islands, and this particular piece was just wonderful. And I say sadly, we decided to put it on the floor, and it found a home. I'm not sure where it ended up, but yeah. You know, we do follow nowadays with Facebook. Facebook's obviously become massive, and it's a great way for us to keep in touch with our clients, and for our clients to keep in touch with us, and we get a lot of times to see where a piece ends up, and that's always fun. I think I know we've shipped obviously worldwide. I'm trying to think of maybe an area that has the furthest from us that has a piece from us. I think Germany might be that place. We've had an increase in European tourists, and yeah, I think Germany might be the furthest distance away from us that's purchased and taken a piece back from sleepy Hanalei.
Beautiful. Now, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Dylan Thomas, and he's one of the co-owners of Hawaiki, and it's a gallery in Hanalei Town, and they're located behind Bubba's. And they spend like 15 years cruising in what looks like beautiful yachts.
They were.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just curious, like, when you pull up into some of these small islands, I mean, this is like a very beautiful, large boat. I mean,
it is.
Do people come out and greet you?
Yes. Yeah, they certainly do. There's actually, interestingly enough, there's an immediate respect, which is really really wonderful to experience. And I say that because obviously the folks that we're sailing, whose island we just anchored off of, their ancestors sailed into those islands, you know. And so there was, in 99% of the islands that we anchored off of, there was an immediate respect. And you also have to bear in mind that when we started, although it's only 16 years ago, the cruising world, the cruising yachts, the numbers of cruising yachts was way fewer than it is today. Cruising has become much more popular in recent years. And so there's more people than ever in the South Pacific, although that number is still pretty small, I will say. But we visited places where there was just no one else for months at a time. We would cruise through particularly the Western Pacific. And at every location, we were, you know, warmly welcomed by the people. There was a lot of inquisitiveness as to, like, what exactly we were doing there, what we were there for. And when it became known that we were buying artwork, well, we were usually inundated by kids and adults and canoes. One of the most amazing things, actually, is having a canoe that seems waterlogged that somehow is floating, carrying this gentleman in a pair of torn shorts and no T-shirt, step aboard the boat or come alongside the boat and then step aboard the boat and offload the exquisite artwork that you see that we have in our gallery. It was pretty mind-boggling in the beginning. It obviously became more commonplace for us. But we were certainly visited frequently, almost immediately at every location that we would anchor. Someone would come on and come over and knock on the hull and welcome us, introduce us, ask us if we needed anything. And we usually end up trading with the kids, with the adults, with the artisans. We would trade for pretty much everything, including the artwork, but also, vegetables, produce. And then with the kids, in an effort to try and teach them the concept of trading, Vicky regularly would trade them for coconuts and flowers and little shells, and actually hand out a lot of what they call biros, which are, pencils and paper and things that are not easily attained in the outer islands. Most of them have very little availability to transport, taking them into the major cities where they can possibly get pencils and books and what have you. But it costs them more to travel there to get the items they need. So our presence was, I think, as I say, for the most part, welcomed by the villagers. We traded everything from sheets, towels, pots and pans. In fact, one of the back in our original period, the most sought after item, which we had a lot of because we had varnished cap rails on our sailboat, was sandpaper. Sandpaper. Uh-huh. If you believe it or not, they need, because they're carvers, right? They need to finish their artwork. So they would trade pretty much on every trading transaction that we did. There would be a request for some sandpaper. And makes sense, I guess, because they couldn't get it. There's no Ace Hardware in Solomon Islands or Vanuatu or Papua New Guinea or Tahiti even. We were very happy to be providing that and making that part of the exchange.
Yes, I mean, imagine, because anybody who's even worked with wood a little bit, sandpaper is vital to making a beautiful finish.
Absolutely, so, yeah. Absolutely, and they're not only finishing on 80 grit or 120 grit. People who know sandpaper, they know what I'm talking about. They're going right up to 500, 600 grit sandpaper, very fine finishes. So yeah, we were happy to provide.
Definitely. Well, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Dylan Thomas, and he's one of the co-owners of Hawaiki. It's a gallery featuring a world of Hawaiian, Polynesian, Melanesian, and Oceanic art. And he and the co-owners have sailed around the globe, and particularly, of course, down in the South Pacific, West Pacific, and collected beautiful pieces. They're one-of-a-kind pieces, and you can find out more at havaiki.art. That's HAVAIKI art.com. You can also phone them at 826-7606. And even better yet, you can visit their gallery in Hanalei. It's right there in the Hanalei Center behind Bubba's. And they do have some wonderful YouTube videos as well. And yes, there's a museum quality pieces. A lot of them, I'm sure, are one of a kind. They're handmade by the artisans and picked by the gallery owners. Also, you do have some Ni'ihau Joy, which I don't know, you probably know, is the only shell joy that's actually insured by Lloyd's of London, which I'm
correct,
sure you know that. And so maybe, just before, I know you have to get back to the store, but maybe you could talk a little bit about like the tikis, because tikis they've always been vogue. I mean, ever since, since they've been made, which is, literally
right.
Thousands of years ago, tikis have been made.
Right.
But a lot of times they're really large. And I mean, getting one of those back here, do you ship those? You don't put those on your yacht, or you ship them back, or?
The large tikis we have in the gallery are all from Hawaii. The Marquesan pieces that we collected were shipped back, other places that create tikis are Tonga. There's some in Samoa as well. Obviously, Maori from New Zealand, the big tiki culture there. So we currently have a tiki artist on Kauai, Huni. As we mentioned earlier, we have a lot of local talent and local artists creating pieces. So we try to keep those pieces made locally. Another artist, Bill Collins, most recent addition in the tiki genre at the gallery, is creating pieces for us. So we're very happy to have Bill in the gallery. He does a Marquesan style tiki. So those, although they're not from the Marquesas, they're in a Marquesan style carved locally here on Kauai. And, you know, in that sense, artists who've been listening should be made known to them, that if I can have something that's typically produced or created in Tahiti or Maori from New Zealand made here on Kauai, certainly I'd rather support a local artist on the island of Kauai. We've always got more space for them as well. But, the tiki culture is very interesting. Many different styles. There's the 60s mania genre, which took off with Trader Vic's in that period when Hawaii was being glamorized, right, for hula dancing and
Elvis movies.
Exactly, Elvis movies and tiki mania, tiki mugs, tiki t-shirts, tiki this, that, and the next thing. Ours in the Hawaiian selections we have, they're what we call a Bishop Museum replica. So they are replicas. They're contemporary pieces. And the artists have put their own spin on the piece, but it's as close to a Bishop Museum replica that you could probably find. And then, as I say, we have Marquesan pieces. Very few Maori pieces. Folks tend to travel. If they travel to Hawaii, they often have traveled to New Zealand already, because it's just down the bottom of the Pacific, direct flights as well. So they end up buying their own pieces from there. And, we'd welcome more tiki artists. The more, the merrier.
All right. And so, Dylan, before you go, I want to say a big mahalo, because Hawaiki, you were very generous with some beautiful gifts for our early bird drawings. And could you just talk a little bit about what those are? And also, we let people know you can see pictures of that at kkcr.org.
Yes.
But thank you so much. That was wonderful. And can you just mention what they
are? Thanks, Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on today. And, mm-hmm. you know, for the great station that you guys are, and what you do as a public service, really, for the community of Kauai, it's fantastic. We're very happy to have donated. We donated a 48-inch or a 4-foot tiki. I think it's a kanaloa. No, it's a kane, excuse me. Kane tiki, hand-carved. It's 4 foot. It's made out of monkey pod wood.
Mm.
That's only for the Hawaii residents. because as you talked about shipping, although we do, we can freight tikis, ocean freight worldwide, which is an option, I believe, for some of the mainland donors. The first choice for the mainland donors, if they are selected, is a Nihao shell lei with a matching pair of earrings. And we've also gifted that in a koa framed box, which has a sliding glass front. So it's something which we believe should happen with all Nihao jewelry, and with all the artwork that we have in the gallery. It should be presented in a museum quality and hung on people's walls and displayed. And if it's not being worn, it should be honored by being on display and respected, you know, and appreciated in people's homes. So yeah, that Nihao shell lei comes with a matching set of earrings and a koa box, which can be put in someone's office or in their home.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And I agree that if when you have art, it should be displayed and not just locked away in a a vault or something.
Absolutely, yeah, 100% behind that.
Thank you so much, Dylan. It's really a pleasure to meet you, and I've enjoyed your wonderful accent as well.
Cheers,
your beautiful smiling face. But, I'm going to go check out your Pareo video.
No. Absolutely, number 100,001.
Yeah, yeah, so you can find out more about Hava Iki or how to tie a sarong Pareo on YouTube if you just Google Hava Iki. And you also, they have a wonderful video that takes you on a quick tour through Hava Iki Gallery. Once again, they're located in Hanalei Center behind Bubba's. Their website is Hava Iki Art, HavaikiArt.com. Their number is 826-7606. And obviously you have a face page, and that is?
The Facebook page is also under Hava Iki Art. I believe it's Hava Iki Art. Could also be Hava Iki Oceanic Art. It's been a while since I made it.
That's okay. I understand. Anyway, thank you so much. And thank you for bringing treasures from around the world to Kauai and sharing them with our global visitors here.
Absolutely.
As well as the local community, and for supporting local art. Thank you so much, Dylan.
Thanks again, Tracy. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to Kauai Community Radio.